Welcome, everybody, to a new era of RP Grinders. I'm your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great, Breakman the Bold, and the Frosty One himself is here. The least talented of the bunch is here. So, welcome back, Mug.
I didn't say things about you, Frank.
Yeah, you did.
I was going to say that I'm fairly certain that's an outright lie.
Hey, this is a new era for RP Grinders. We're on YouTube, Twitch, Ustream, if you still use that. I'll be adding more as we go. During the week, probably I'll add a few more streams. So hopefully we'll get more people in chat. I haven't decided on what chat client I'm going to use, but looks like YouTube chat's pretty good, pretty solid. So I'll see if I can integrate that. Gentlemen, how was your week? Breakman, how was your week?
It was all right, I guess.
Just all right, huh?
Yeah.
It was a week.
It was a week and stuff. And
yeah. Do we have lots to talk about today, guys?
Do we? I've got a rant incoming.
Oh, good. This show is going to be pretty damn good. Eric, how was your week, dude?
Crap.
Oh, shit.
It started with my car, right tire, something wrong with the pin on the rack.
Freak 5. The wheel. Freak 5.
Yeah, that cost about $1,300 or something. My parents had to bail me out there. So now I'm going to have to look for a new car soon because it probably won't last. Right. Even though we've replaced every major part in that thing, it's still probably going to continue to fall apart.
Freak 5
sounds like a lemon.
Freak 5 says he looked at himself in the mirror and he says he's a horrible beast. He's in the YouTube chat. So this might be all good. MXT, you joined the other... Oh, you're in two chats, I see. He says beatbox. Oh, no. Why is
beatbox? I don't know.
He says he's a god because he's in two chats.
Oh, I got you. I don't know why.
I don't know what's up with the stream, but there is this horrifying, like, golem-like troglodyte.
How dare you? I could get you guys on, too, if you got...
No, because we would like our listeners to keep listening.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
if he's gone, then where's his ring?
Yeah, exactly. I
lost that shit months ago.
I don't know. Remember, like most of the Lord of the Rings, most of the Hobbit involved him not having the ring and wanting it.
We must make.
I didn't say he was Gollum. I said he was Gollum-like.
Oh, how dare you! We must make a blood sacrifice to Hilric. Ric Flair, MXT says, yeah, something's going on with Ric Flair. I haven't heard the latest. He's in the hospital for something, but wrestling legend. All right, guys, let's get started with the news. Eric, let's get this show on the road here.
All right, from RPG site, we have Sword Art Online, Fatal Bullet, officially announced for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Steam, and that's weird that the Xbox One's a platform for this, because it wasn't all the other times. So earlier this week, Bandai Namco Europe had published an English teaser for a brand new game named Project 1514, and the project was with a K for whatever reason. And not much information was divulged other than a mysterious FB logo, and this game is being developed by Dimps, so they're going with a different developer for this one.
So basically, it's like if it's spelled with a K and there's an FB logo, which means that Facebook has taken hold of the Mortal Kombat license and they're working with whoever makes the Sword Art Online. Half-Life 3 confirmed.
Yeah, exactly.
If you really, really like Sword Art Online, now you can play the shooter version of it.
You know what? It looks interesting. I was looking at the video, and I was going to talk to you guys about that. It's definitely a different style, but it looks kind of a hybrid mix between Bionic Commando, Halo, and Final Fantasy is the best way that I can describe the trailer. But you should definitely... check it out online. Anything else on this, Eric?
Not really. But other than like there'll be different weapon types, like the photon sword, which you probably wouldn't want to use in a game all about guns.
Yeah.
But Gatling, sniper rifle, grenade launcher, and assault machine gun.
Yeah.
And your favorite characters or your not favorite characters will make an appearance. Sword Online kind of falls apart halfway through.
Yeah.
Trailer,
or at least the anime version does.
Yeah. Trailer looks like it might be interesting to play.
Yeah, it does look interesting, man. That's why I saw it, and I was gonna ask you guys if you were, you know, even remotely interested in it. But
I've never seen anything of Sword Art Online. I've generally not heard great things about the games or the show.
Yeah.
So been like, eh, okay.
The games are more tolerable than the show, at least somewhat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it sounded like it was like it when I first heard about it. It's like, oh, it's got hack all over again.
The show isn't bad. It just has a lots of missteps.
Yeah.
Not all exactly right. New. And.
Yep. Let's move on to the next one. Mug.
All right, coming to us live from RPGsite.net. Yakuza 6. The Song of Life will be released in the West on March 20th, 2018. That's my sister's birthday. Sega of America has announced that the game will blah 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 blah. PlayStation 4. It will be priced $59.99 US, $79.99 Canadian, $49.99 pounds in the UK, $59.99 euros, and $89.99 in Australian dollars. The publisher also released a new gameplay trailer featuring plenty of brawling and some wacky minigames. alongside the release date announcement, they have revealed a special limited launch edition and an after-hours premium edition. I'm assuming that means one of the hostess clubs for Yakuza 6. That you can find details below, and it looks nice. It has like a very the traditional like, Yakuza style tattoo, like in black and white. It looks like a little hardcover art book is included. And it's got some nice, some nice
coaster
stuff.
And two glasses where you could put anything in.
Yeah, I know, including liquor. But yeah, I mean, and I don't know what the. Oh, two ice stones. It actually has like the one of them like has the. You know, has like the kanji, and the other one has some kind of a flame emblazoned on it.
So you know, ice stones are actually ice, or are they just full of water that's cold?
No, they're actually just they're cut stone. You freeze them and you put them in your glass, and they use them to cool your drink without watering it down.
All right.
They're like
ice because in my drinks because the dilution effect. So maybe I should get myself one of the ice stones.
get a few of them. You'll pay about $10 or $15 for a set of like six of them. But,
I'm gonna buy this game anyways. I might as well this.
Yeah,
but
no,
yeah, I mean, they're nice. I mean, if you are like a whiskey drinker or something like that, and you like it neat but cold, but yeah, ice stones are very worthwhile.
I used to drink whiskey.
Yeah.
There was an incident.
isn't there always with you?
Yes, it's true. There's no more whiskey drinking for me.
I love the fact that at the bottom of this article it says Yakuza 6 screenshots. There are five screenshots, and two of them are of the guy working out, like lifting weights. I just think that's funny.
Yeah.
The rhythm game is back. I wonder if Hatsune Miku will make an appearance in the game.
God.
Bug, Freak 5 is asking if you don't mind if he puts the picture of us on his on the Zombies Anonymous Facebook page.
Let me think about it. I'm kind of trying to go a little lower profile. So we'll see. Yeah.
Don't be a wuss. Yeah, you know what? Just cover his face. That'll be better for the whole picture anyway.
I've gotten enough harassment that I'm just like, you know, it's one of the reasons that I got rid of my Twitter. I'm just like, I'm trying to go a little dark.
Yeah. MXT is asking about Wicked Radio. I'm undecided, MXT, so it's going to take a bit for me to work out the details for chat and all kinds of stuff. So I have more work to do. I've been working all week on getting this show going. The audio quality should be a little bit better, etc. But I don't know if I'm liking this YouTube chat. I'll have to play around with it. We'll figure it out. Nonetheless, let's move on to the next story. Breakman,
coming to us live from RPG Site. Layton's Mystery Journey, Hua, Catriel, and Millionaire's Conspiracy out for 3DS on October 6th. Wow, Catriel and the Millionaire's Conspiracy. What a name. Yeah. Level 5 announced today that Layton's Mystery Journey, Catriel, and the Millionaire's Conspiracy will be released in North America and Europe for Nintendo 3DS on October 6th. Motherfuck!
I know, it's Silicon Era all over again.
God damn it! Yeah. This entry of the Layton franchise will contain more puzzles than ever before. To add an extra layer of value to the experience, it was also revealed bonus puzzles will be available as a daily download for an entire year, starting from the day the game launches.
It's pretty much every other Layton game, though.
Yeah. Well, here, let me give you a synopsis on the stories, because Layton's pretty popular. The story this time begins with Catriel setting up the Layton Detective Agency on Chancer Lane, determined to prove her worth and hoping that the exposure will help her to uncover clues regarding her missing father's whereabouts. I think that'd be your priority instead of setting up some detective agency. Whizzing around London on her trusty bicycle, solving case after unlikely case, Catriel, again, I think going to find her father would be like the priority, but whatever. Catriel will become embroiled in a quizzical quest that eventually leads to her unwitting discovery of the Millionaire's Conspiracy. However, she's not alone in her endeavors. However, she's not alone in her endeavors. A young Gressenheller student by the name of Ernest Greaves joins the agency as her assistant, and the team quickly grows to three with Cheryl, a talking dog. Of course, because everybody needs a talking dog. Becomes Catriel's first client and subsequently a trusty sidekick.
The stories and the art style of the Layton series has always reminded me of the Tintin books.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad thing. I like the Tintin books. There's just something about it. It's just like, it strikes me as very reminiscent of that.
The only thing I see is really odd is the talking dog, because the games have never really delved into the supernatural.
Or maybe it's just a thing, like, talking dogs are just a thing in this world, and nobody really takes notice of it.
Oh, so like Family Guy.
Yeah, pretty much, maybe.
Yeah, all right. Anything else on that, Breakman? Sorry, I was on, I was trying to get people acclimated with...
There's some more I can read, but it's basically just refreshing things we already know, like there are more puzzles.
Yeah, all right, let's move on to the next story from RPG Site. Shenmue 3! To be published globally by Deep Silver. Deep Silver and developer EaseNet have announced a new publishing collaboration for the long-awaited Shenmue 3. You can find it. You can find EaseNet's blog post about the new partnership here. It has a link. It's scheduled for release second half of 2018 for the PS4. And PC with both physical and digital versions. So this is
Do you think it'll make the people who have been wanting this happy, or do you think they're going to be underwhelmed?
I think
they'll be underwhelmed.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
Like they're just.
I mean, there are legitimate reviews with that game, but I think people blew it out of proportion because they were already insanely angry about what went on there.
Yeah, but like the level design in Mighty No. 9 is genuinely awful.
Yeah. Freak 5 says Frank doesn't need a talking dog. It would snitch on him. He also says it would be all, "Hey, Mug, do you want me to lick peanut butter off your penis?"
Like Frank does.
Like Frank does. Like
thanks, Freak Five, for being pros.
How dare you, Freak Five?
I know. I was sitting there waiting because I knew he wasn't going to read that part. That's why.
Although, unlike Bunny Number 9, I hope Deep Silver doesn't do a terrible ad alongside Shenmue 3.
Well, hopefully they learned their lesson from that one. But I mean, this is less like Mighty Number 9. I have the feeling we're looking more at another Duke Nukem. If it's going to go bad, it's going to be like, you know, like, and but or even kind of like Half-Life 3. It's been long enough because I mean, Shenmue 2 was released on the original Xbox. I mean, it was really I think there was like a Dreamcast version that was
Dreamcast version came out first, and the Xbox version came out like 5 years later.
Did come out. It did. The Dreamcast version was released.
Yeah.
I thought it wasn't finished. Okay. But either way, that's like, so if it came out for Dreamcast, I would have put it at like 2001, like early 2001 at the absolute latest.
So technically it came out in Europe, but like, I don't think there was a region protection for the game, so that it basically just sold you an import when they sold it in the US.
Yeah, there you go. But I mean, my point being that when the, you know, it's been like 16 years since the game's release.
I know, and Robert Culp is dead and stuff, so the villain's gone. I mean,
well, I never played the games, but it's like,
oh, you don't play Half-Life.
At this point, I don't know that it could ever satisfy fan expectations, just because it's been so long.
Plus, the Yakuza series basically took over its place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I mean, like I said, you know, I don't have any investment in the series, but for the fans' sake, I hope it's good. You know, it's like, I want all games to be good, but that's not the way the world works, you know. Mm.
I have high hopes for Shenmue 3. I
only in the free-for-alls, I want to complain about how gamers don't have any perspective.
Yeah, well,
or understanding.
We've got lots to talk about.
It's not just gamers, it's internet trolls in general. Basically, most and everybody who spends most of their time staying at home that lacks perspective. I say most. I don't say everybody. I'm saying.
I want to talk about it in regards to Nintendo's ability to provide Switches and such.
Yeah. I say lacks perspective in some way. I mean, yeah. Not necessarily you lack all perspective. It's not what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on to the next story then. We're like lingering on this one. We still got a bunch of stuff to get through.
Yeah. Mm. Freak Pipe says, "Of course, that question is phrased perfectly. You can't tell if the dog is talking about Mug wanting peanut butter licked off of his dick." Actually, he said me, but or if the dog has seen Frank licking peanut butter off Mug's dick. Either is.
I think
not...
it's more likely that Frank is licking peanut butter off the dog's dick.
Nope, that's totally not true. No bestiality here. All right.
I don't know. I've seen some of the women you've dated.
How dare you? How dare you? I will have you know, I only date classy.
He only
women.
Dates dogs.
Yeah.
So after he spends time with the dog, does the dog walk away with his tail between his legs, kind of whimpering?
How dare you, Breakman? Yeah, you're exiled.
I mean, to be fair, she was a beautiful Afghan hound.
Oh, God, how dare you guys? Next story, Mug, you son of a bitch.
All right, coming to us live from RPG Site. Hidetaka Sweary Suehiro, who fans may recognize as the creator behind Deadly Premonition and D4, Dark Dreams Don't Die, has announced the first project with newly minted studio White Owls will be, of all things, a mystery daily life RPG called The Good Life. The details were shared in a newsletter from the investment crowdfunding site Fig. The campaign for the new title is expected to launch on September 2nd at about 7 p.m. Pacific time, which falls right after a PAX West 2017 panel hosted by Sweary and some of his development team. We're sure to find out about a lot more details about the game there. There are more details from the newsletter, along with some comments from Sweary himself. I'll run through this real quick. The game is set in Rainy Woods, the self-proclaimed happiest town in the world. Here you'll play as Naomi, a photographer from New York who finds herself stuck in this small town in rural England. She's found a way to pay off the massive debt she's accumulated. Bow, bow, wow. But she soon discovers that the town is hiding a very bizarre secret. At night, all the town's residents turn into cats. Why does this happen? Is this why everyone in town is so happy? Yeah, this week. Have you ever heard cats in heat? and no one seems to remember what they do to it. What they do at night? Yeah, a lot of repression going on. Naomi is here to find out what's going on in Rainy Woods. And there's a sign that says, "Become a cat. Enjoy the night." The townspeople aren't the only ones who get to roam around the night as a cat. Naomi does too. Once the sun sets, you'll get to explore rainy woods and collect clues and important items connected to the events of the story and knock shit off of shelves for no reason.
Yeah, exactly.
The town becomes a very different place at night, as certain paths, rooftops, and attics can only be accessed by cats. Take a peek at the campaign page for more gameplay details and be sure to leave your feedback in the comments.
I think that's enough on that long winded.
Yeah, it's interesting, I'll say.
Yeah,
but it's a sweary game.
So. I'm down. I think we talked about this.
Since Frank's not going to ask, I'm going to go ahead and ask, because he's asking me to ask you anyway. Where's your harmonic at?
Oh, how dare you? You're exiled, you son of a bitch. Exiled! we talked about this game before. Freak Five says Frank is always high, so his opinion of what is classy is skewed. How dare you, Freak Five? You're exiled. And then all the harmonica stuff.
To be fair, you are always high.
Yeah, you suck.
Well, I can't say that. I guess he can read this too, so I might as well say it anyway. He says even better if he walks into the room Frank is recording from and plays it behind Frank so it can't be hung up on or muted.
I can mute in here too, so how dare you. And before you get a smart remark off, Freak Five, I'm not muting. I'm not muting myself, ass. What an ass.
We should all be so lucky.
Yeah, I'm working on the video, so don't worry. The video will be back in just a second. All right, next story, Eric.
Next story is from RPG Site, and it's about Cyber Dimension Neptunia. Four Goddesses Online is launching for PlayStation 4 in October, Steam in early 2018. But I seem to remember the first announcement just being for an unknown 2018 release, but I guess they decided to split them up.
Yeah. Okay. Is that all there is to that?
October 10th in North America, October 13th in Europe, both physical and digital formats.
Freak Five says I'll still have to hear it. Damn you, Freak Five. You know what? Next story. That's what. Four Goddess Online. Game footage. Do you guys want to see any game footage from Four Goddess Online? Do you guys, in chat, is that a thing that you want to see?
I don't think they care.
I don't think they care either. All right. Let's move on to the next one. Breakman, let us know if you want to see video, though.
Coming to us live from Gamatsu, Raiden V.
Raiden.
Oh, sorry. Raiden V. Just because I want to be the asshole. Director's Cut launches October 5th in the West. Raiden
5, too.
Yeah, Raiden 5.
That was the point. I was being an asshole.
Yeah.
Anyway. launch on PlayStation
4 PC on October 5th. To be fair, how would we know the difference?
Got me there. Okay, I'm sorry. special limited edition PlayStation 4 box version, including an exclusive music soundtrack CD. Doesn't say how many tracks. I'll see if that's in here. It's probably
the entire soundtrack. It's a shmup, so that they wouldn't skimp on that.
Yeah, probably right. Exclusive 22-track separate music soundtrack CD. So that sounds awesome. Let me list what you're going to get. Extreme Graphics features full 1080p support to bring every explosion, missile attacks, and boss kills to... Let me reread this sentence, because I don't think they wrote it right. Features full 1080p support to bring every explosion, missile attacks, and boss kills to Earth... shattering realism on HDTVs and monitors. Wow, that was a terrible written sentence. Okay.
Yeah, missile attacks and boss kills should not have been plural.
Yeah. Wow. I thought it was them first, but now I was like, well, maybe it's me. I'll just reroute it. No, it's definitely them this time. TriView HUD reaches new levels of frenetic and heart-pounding action as real-time game status changes, command center data, and gameplay simultaneously and continuously update you on the action. Okay. Wow. I'm usually too busy watching what's going on to look at a hub. Multiplayer, first time ever. Local two-player cooperative play. Trying to stay alive. Sheer attack, a powerful special attack for your secondary weapons, but only for a few seconds. Don't miss your window. Fully narrated storyline. Who's got time to read? that's kind of what I was saying a moment ago. I'm too busy trying to stay alive to read. New ships, 3 unique ships with different strengths and weapons. Health bars, keep an eye on your ship's health if you want to make it to their final destination. Wow, that is actually unique in a shmup. A health bar in
a shmup. Well, it's not unique, it's rare. Like, Area 88 used it.
Yeah.
But it's very uncommon.
And then, like I said, as I previously said, the 22 track. Oh, it's only for PS4 though, CD. That kind of sucks, but
yeah.
I wonder if the Steam version will have a digital version of the soundtrack bundle.
I'd imagine they're probably not selling this in stores for the PC. Probably just download it.
Yeah.
All right.
Not like the old days.
Raiden was awesome. I really liked Raiden. That was a fun shoot 'em up. So I'm curious about.
I got like 3 and 4, but I haven't played them yet.
Yeah. Freak 5 says worried we'll have to see your face again. Talking to me. Couldn't even think of a good comeback because I'm high apparently. Actually,
I bought a multi pack of it, like 1 through, or I guess they're not 1 through 4 technically, but it's a.
Are four you talking about the Aces games. Pack?
Maybe. I don't know. It was for online at some point.
And Freak 5 is okay with video as long as there's anime boobs. I can't show anything on YouTube. Whatever that was.
Sorry.
That's right. I can't show anything. I tried doing an impromptu GDP yesterday. And YouTube, like, immediately blocked my video. So I can't do any, like, copyrighted stuff or nudity or anything like that. Otherwise, the channel will get banned, and that will suck. I'm looking at workarounds, though, for GDP. Twitch doesn't seem to mind. So I'll do a GDP after the show, I believe, today, if you guys want me to, over on Twitch. So... there you go. All right, next story. Let's go with Mug.
All right, let me switch windows here. Coming to us live from Gematsu. Isometric RPG Shadow Awakening announced for PS4, Xbox One, and PC. It is an isometric single-player RPG with real-time tactical combat. Visually, it looks a lot like Diablo 3. Due out for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One and PC in 2018. There's a lengthy description there. I'll go like supremely abbreviated. It's a isometric single-player RPG, real-time tactical combat. You take control of a demon from the Shadow Realm to consume the souls of long-dead heroes. Gather your party, control powerful heroes, use their skills. So again, who's in charge, the demon or the souls that it's devoured? Says 40 hours for a single playthrough with substantial options for replayabilities. Parallel universe, or the two worlds, seamlessly switch between the Shadow Realm and the mortal plane and witness a gripping storyline in a world full of myths, destinies, and legendary creatures. I like that idea.
Yeah.
Real-time tactical combat, which probably means Diablo-type play. Unique party systems, multiple characters and one demon, each retaining their own personalities. Internal dialogues, rivalries, and communication between the characters enriches the gameplay experience and narrative. I like that because that sounds a lot like how Dragon Age did, like, you know, real-time, you know, character interaction. 3 heroes, each with own stories, consume the souls of 15 playable characters, each with skill sets. Talent system, combine skills from your characters, create a new variety of new gameplay possibilities. That sounds good. Challenging puzzles, crafting and looting system. I'm sick of crafting. Fully voiced, all dialogues are fully narrated, including actors like Tom Baker. I haven't looked at the trailer, but the description sounds actually not bad.
As far as crafting goes, I'm all right with it in multiplayer games like MMOs and stuff like that. But in a single player game, it needs to be easier. Yeah. You have to go to ridiculous lengths in some single player games to craft, and it's just like, why?
Yeah.
I mean, and it's like, I remember when I played like Mass Effect Andromeda, I'm just like, oh, fucking crafting has infiltrated, you know, Mass Effect as well.
Yeah.
And I know that that's. And I guess I don't mind crafting systems so much as long as they're not as long as it's not too intrusive. It's like if I can get through the game without having to rely on it, that's one thing. Or if it's small scale, like I thought, if you're gonna do crafting in a single player campaign, The Last of Us did it better than any other game I've seen.
Dragon Quest IX, it for the early stages, crafting was okay, but when you start getting to the later stuff, like, it was just, it took ridiculous amounts of gameplay to craft stuff.
Yeah, like, when
you're not going to play against
grind,
other people. Yeah.
Yeah.
When you're not going to play against other people, I don't understand. If you're,
some
if you're
of the
like
best
multi-
materials, you have to fight certain bosses in the
yeah.
in the grottos, and yeah. usually it requires missing around with the RNG, otherwise you're probably not getting that item. But thankfully, yeah, missing the RNG is pretty easy.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, it, for the most part, a lot of the crafting systems just strike me as ways of padding out gameplay. Like,
yeah,
like it's the modern, you know, it's the modern, you know, collect 12 rat pelts. Giant,
well,
you know,
I get it. I get it in like MMOs. If you're trying to be like the best and you're trying to outdo everybody else, you know.
Yeah.
Like you want to have like the best weapons ever, so I can understand like crafting, like that being difficult because they don't want everybody to do it. They don't want everybody to get to upper echelons. They just want
Dragon
the...
Dragon Quest VIII did crafting better than 9 did.
Yeah. 9 was so irritating.
Yeah,
I love 9, though.
9's a great game.
One of my favorite Dragon Quests, but the crafting system irritated the shit out of me.
Yeah, the crafting sucked, but 9 was a great game, man. That's a game that I wouldn't mind playing another version of. It's really good. All right, let's move on to the next story, guys. Breakman.
We just did that one. I almost read that one. Whoopsie. Coming to us live from Silicon Era. Game Gear Megami Tensei title received English translation.
You skipped one.
Yeah, you skipped one, buddy.
That's fine.
Wait. Yeah. Oh, shit. My bad. The Lovecraftian story? I thought that was the other. Yeah. I confused that one with the other one.
It's easy to see why.
Okay, coming to us live from Gamatsu, Lovecraftian horror game Conarium, coming to PS4, Xbox One in early 2018. Conarium, a Lovecraftian horror game developed by Zoetrope Interactive, launched in PC.
Zoetrope. That's a P.
What did I say?
Zoetrope.
Really? I said that? Yep. Oh, my bad. Zoetrope Interactive launched for PC in June. I had no idea I even said that. Will launch for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One in early 2018. Publisher Iceberg Interactive announced. Wow, I can see it's a P. Why would I say P? I don't know. Conarium is a chilling Lovecraftian game that follows the gripping story of four scientists and their endeavor to challenge what we normally consider to be the absolute limits of nature. Inspired by H.P. Lovecraft's novella At the Mountains of Madness, but largely set after the original story. You, as Frank Gilman, open your eyes inside a room filled with strange pulsating noises. Patterns of light executing a dance macabre.
Dance macabre.
Okay. I didn't know how that was spelled.
Macabre.
Dance macabre on the walls is presented by a queer device on the table. It says queer device. I'm sorry. Like that. Wow.
Bear in mind, it's like the time said it. You know, like queer didn't always mean gay. It just meant odd.
I know, but I'm but
break,
to
break
still
man
use
is,
it in this. I'm just saying, like it just comes off as.
Breakman is against gay people. That's what he's saying. He's against gay people.
Frank,
I'm with Stephen Lynch. I think it would be fun to bring like that old meaning of queer back into the lexicon. It's like,
yeah.
It's like, Frank didn't come into work today. That's queer. You know, just
Freak Five says
he's usually here. Yo,
Freak Five is talking.
Let me go ahead and read. Well, what Freak Five say?
Freak Five is saying that he masturbates on camera and he wants.
That is not what he said. That is not even close to what he said.
Pretty sure that's what Freak Five does.
Yeah, well, that's true, but that's not what he said. He said, you know, that, thankfully, we know that Twitch will shut down Frank masturbating on camera.
How dare you?
President for that.
I thought you were
for Frank
my
masturbating
side
on camera on Twitch.
How dare you? Walking off the show. Go be a security guard.
God, promises.
Is there more?
So what is a queer device? Like,
strange, like some strange thing, like some, you know, some odd device.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, okay. Anything else that. On that, or we good?
I'll read the rest of this. Having recalled nothing other than their. Let's just move on. Fuck it.
Yeah. I am interested in this game because as soon as you say Lovecraft, I'm down. yeah.
I am too. I like Lovecraftian stuff, even though he was a despicable racist.
Yeah,
but,
absolutely.
You know, so that's the thing, is the most people in olden days were like huge bigots in some way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was just kind
people
of.
People were dumber back then, that's all.
Yeah, they were really, really uneducated, and that's just the way it was.
Yeah, I mean, it was a cultural norm.
It's not,
I mean,
good, but it doesn't mean that, like, we should say that they were horrible.
Yeah.
If you go back and try to read some of my Lovecraft stuff, is, you know, he wrote some very turgid prose, and if you go back and read it, it's just like some of the stuff that he does write about, like, the lesser races and shit. It's just like, oh, that's very cringeworthy. I mean, it's like you don't have to respect the man to respect his position in, you know, as an American author. You know, he was an immensely influential author. But I was going to say, like, you know, when it comes to Lovecraftian stuff, I'm interested, I'm curious, but I'm not sure anything will ever capture the essence of Lovecraft as well as Bloodborne did.
Oh, God. Bloodborne is a masterpiece, man. That game is going to be, like, 10 years from now, people are still going to be talking about Bloodborne.
Probably use it as a study reference.
Yeah.
Although there's a comment down the page that I said, I kind of get. Like, I hate when they announce it as a Lovecraftian game. Part of the charm of games or movies inspired by H.P. Lovecraft is that you're not aware at the beginning of the influence or the mystery behind all the creepy stuff. And I very much agree with that.
Yeah.
Let me read the key features before we move on. Okay. A deep and suspense-filled Lovecraftian story with lots of secrets and Easter eggs, ominous but wonderful graphics created with the Unreal Engine 4, multiple endings, I love multiple endings, a haunting and atmospheric soundtrack.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head, Mug. Bloodborne is, if anything was a game about Lovecraft, it was Bloodborne, for sure. So it's a best implementation of some quote Lovecraftian motifs, but great game, and I have big hope for this game. I hope it's all right. All right, next story comes to us from everybody's favorite Silicon Era. Game Gear Megami Tensei title receives English translation, so that's kind of cool. Game Gear Megami Tensei, I'm so used to saying Shin Megami, game Megami Tensei Gaiden Last Bible Special is developed by Sega. It has players controlling Mattel, a hero. Is that like the Mattel toys?
No.
A hero looking to battle the Demon King Gryas? After the beast has taken control of Jerusalem. To do so, he will have to explore four dungeons in first person, fighting against the monsters he comes across.
Oh my god, you fight the monsters?
Yeah, I know. The unofficial...
Well, this one's a little interesting for a Mega 10 game, because, like, unlike other Mega 10 games, this plays more like a more traditional RPG.
Yeah,
I'm getting kind of a Eye of the Beholder, like, wizardry sort of vibe off of what I'm seeing.
Yeah, which is fine.
Screenshots. Although, like, just from the description and the title, I'm thinking, I wonder why this never got a U.S. release.
Yeah.
Because Jerusalem like, and demons.
Yeah, I'm like, even if there had been, like, a viable RPG market on the Game Gear in the U.S. at the time, I can't see this game getting a U.S. release.
No way. So it says, the unofficial translation converts all dialogue and descriptions into English, and also offer some minor gameplay tweaks that lower the encounter rate and speed up some aspects of movement. It's available for free on romhacking.net. So there you go.
Yeah. Why would you want to sell a translation?
Yeah. Oh, people do that.
Oh, yeah, I know somebody that I'd rather not mention.
Yeah. Although, I mean, from the two screenshots they show that actually show, like, dialogue, it looks like it might have a decent, a decent translation.
Yeah.
So, hey, good on them.
Yeah, Breakman, the Game Gear did take up a lot of battery, didn't it? It was.
Oh God, I think burned to battery. Actually, the only thing I think that was worse than that was the fucking Sega Nomad. Yeah. That thing was just like
nine batteries.
That would be like, what was it? Nine batteries that took the power of that thing, and they lasted 2 hours.
Holy shit! I wanted one of those. I just didn't have.
It was like literally a Genesis, so it needed the exact power requirements of a Genesis.
Wow.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the next story. Let's go with Breakman.
Coming to us live from Silicon Era, Necrocosmos is a Metroidvania across multiple planets in an open galaxy. Ooh, that sounds interesting. Yeah. I like where this is going. Yeah. Necrocosmos offers players an entire galaxy to explore, letting them choose which planets to explore and when for side-scrolling Metroidvania action. Ooh. Max Weaver has been tasked with finding some missing scientists who could be anywhere in space, which means players will have some searching to do. Players will have a random array of planets when they play the game, although the areas on the planets themselves have been meticulously designed. Only the available stages are randomized. Okay. To reach each of these planets, players will have to shoot their way through a shmup-like stage using their upgradable starship to shoot down the meteors, enemies, and bosses in their way. I like that, too. Wow, it's been a long time since we've played games like that.
It looks like a Denmaku shooter, but I think you have health bars, so it's not as hard as it seems.
Yeah. Wow, two shmups with health bars in one day.
Yeah, I mean, I'm watching the trailer, and I'm getting the what's interesting is, like, visually, it kind of reminds me of Shovel Knight in that it's like it's kind of cartoonish. The aesthetic is distinctly NES-like, but it's kind of like
I'm getting more of an Amiga vibe.
Let me finish. Like it, where it's like it's any like the sprites look kind of like, you know, like the NES and all that kind of stuff. It just looks a little more enhanced, kind of like, you know, like Shovel Knight. It didn't look like an NES game. It looked like what you remember NES games looking like, and that's kind of the visual vibe I get off of this.
There's an NES game this actually reminds me of too. Damn it! What was that? It was a shmup in one part
Guardian
in an action
Legend.
RPG. Oh yeah, Guardian Legends, right?
Yeah, the Guardian Legend. Yeah, I was always surprised that game never got. It was always a kind of a sleeper hit, cult hit, you know, cult classic.
It's compiled, discovered in Moe.
Fucking hard,
and it's never been the same since. That's why.
Okay, so anyway, back to the story. Once on the planet, players will work through side-scrolling potions where they're free. Did I say potions? Side-scrolling portions. Where they're free to explore multiple routes through each planet. These routes can be opened up using the player's DNA gun, which harnesses collectible DNA types to create various effects. Equipping blue DNA can freeze water. Yellow can create electric shots to power machines. Right, swallow. And equipping combinations of these colors can have other varied effects on the environments and enemies. With these, players can find different paths through each stage. Players will also have a jetpack that will make platforming in these areas a bit easier. The pack uses a temporary charge, so players will only be able to hover short distances at first, but they can upgrade it over the course of the game to find even more hidden routes on each planet. Every planet offers multiple puzzles to solve, areas to work through, and bosses to fight.
You almost broke out in song there.
I know. Well, I was kind of reading that before I was saying it, and it was just like, wow, this is okay.
All around the world, statues crumble for me.
Each boss carries a certain... You're going with Sugar Ray there, huh? Each boss carries a certain So I do like Sugar Ray, that's fine. And once players each boss carries a certain DNA weakness as well, and once players may wish to take certain routes through it in order to have the best weapons to deal with a particular large enemy. Like, this is know they game. Like, this is basketball or football. Or
we
can
street, you know. It's like, they know they game.
Silicon Era.
I thought that Breakman was going to bust out with We Are the World there. We are the world, you know.
No, don't sing.
Boy.
Yeah. The only thing that puts me off of this is the bullet hell looking stuff. And I'm like, cause I fucking hate bullet hell shmups.
I don't mind it because once you, like, kind of get the patterns and you get, like, you know, like the sensitivity of how you move and stuff, it's not terrible. But I'm with you, Mug. I'm not a big bullet hell.
I love these kind of games that switch between the gameplay types as long as they're all fun. Like, Project Doom? Is that what it was called?
Vice Project Doom.
Yes. Yeah. I love that game.
That game was fucking hard.
Yeah. I had a Game Genie.
Well, yeah. Those actually help. I still have my both my NES and my Super NES Game Genius.
Wow, nice.
All right.
I don't know. I've got everything in boxes or plastic totes and rubber totes and shit for the most part.
All right. Eric, next story, please.
Next story is from Gematsu, and it's about a game named Aegis Defenders, which is a Metroidvania-style action platform. It's headed to PS4 this winter. It says,
by the way.
Oh, and the Mac. Oh. And it's being published by Humble Bundle and developed by Guts
Publishing.
Yeah, and developer Guts Department. Here's an overview. Metroidvania-style game, truly unlike any game you've ever played. Borrowing tower defense combat elements, combined with the look, feel, and scale of 16-bit-era titles like Super Metroid, Aegis Defenders reunites the magic of old-school adventure genre for a unique blend of gameplay and rich narrative, setting the stage for instant classic. And it says, in a world where control over once lost technologies equals power, you play as ruin hunters Bart and his granddaughter Clue to explore ancient ruins and uncover the one thing that could save the world from the ruthless empire, a legendary weapon known as the Aegis. And Aegis. Bart, Aegis? Okay.
Yes.
Bart, a machinist, specializes in building structures. Clue, on the other hand, is a skilled hunter and trapsmith. Two must wage war against corrupt beasts in the Empire to save the world.
Yeah. All right. It looks interesting. I like the art style. I have not looked at the video, but I'm sure. I mean, a lot of these Metroidvania games are super good. Just really, really good.
That genre of game is really having kind of a renaissance, and I'm pretty damn happy with it. It's like, I used to be really into open world games, like just like 3D open world games, and then it's just like, okay, I'm kind of burned out on it, because it just kind of became like, that became the default for what games were for several years, and it's just like, all right, I've had my fill.
For several years, they're still doing that.
Yeah,
still a lot. Yeah. A lot of open world blandness. Like there, so many open worlds are either it's just a just multiplies what you're already doing in like smaller doses. Like say Spider-Man, for instance, when those were open world games.
Yeah.
Like basically, you were just going from mugger to mugger, and it would start repeating the same mugger, and they would be in just different places around the town.
Yeah,
and most of the cities would turn out to be useless.
Spider-Man 2 on the PS2 and Xbox was not an overall fantastic game, but it was still fun to just swing around the city in that game because it had like a Tony Hawk kind of swinging engine. You could do tricks and stunts and everything. And like,
man,
the game that's come closest to making traversing an open world fun like that game was probably Just Cause 3 minus the DLC. Do not buy the DLC for that game. It's awful.
Okay.
Interesting.
It genuinely ruins the game.
Yeah. All right.
But my point was like in the GTA games GTA is a bad example because there's a lot of gameplay they've put into those games. They're usually really meticulous about it. But in a lot of these open world games, you'll go and there'll be places that are just it's just empty and like, why am I in this part of town? There's nothing to this. Why is this here?
Yeah. Metal Gear Solid 5 was a game that did not benefit from having an open world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Last story, Eric.
Last story is from Gematsu, and it's about a game. Maxim Games and Taurus Games announced Beast Quest for the PS4, Xbox One, and PC based on the best-selling fantasy novel series. And
Aragorn. No.
No. Oh, boy. Apparently there's over 120 different books to date and sold more than 17 million copies. I've never heard of the series though.
Yeah.
But
I'm going to guess this is like a tween type book.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, but it says key features include a sprawling epic journey, explore spectacular environs on your quest to release the beast that under the dark magic of the wizard Malvel. And action-packed combat with profound upgrades, and a land of treasure and hundreds of challenges. So basically your average RPG.
Yeah, pretty much. But I find.
I wonder if this game can do the franchise justice, because most license-based stuff based on novels isn't good.
Never know. Beast Quest. I lost my train of thought. Oh, I know what I was gonna say.
Because you're fucking high.
No,
again.
I didn't fucking smoke before the show. Oddly enough, October 31st is a weird date for that game to come out. That's really weird. Okay,
that's end of October.
That's the news. That is the news, peeps. Yeah, that was cool.
Did you just say peeps? Are you trying to sound like one of the kids again, Frank?
Yeah, I am. Man.
Hello, children.
All right, homie discounts. Looks like we got some homie discounts this week, Eric.
Homie discounts, yeah. There's a Tales of sale going on Gamersgate. And I don't know if it's still active. It was a couple days ago. But I think these might be Steam deals, though. Yeah. But, wait, no. It's mentioning Steam keys. I think it is from... Yeah, it is from Gamersgate. But you can get Berseria for $25.69. You can get Tales of Zestiria for $11. And Symphonia for $4.40. Yeah. And some other games on sale. These are for PS4. $35.99. Destiny the Collection, it's $35.99. Final Fantasy X-2 HD Remaster for the PS4 is also $30. Grand Kingdom you can get for $20. And I think that's on the PSN sale right now.
Yeah, PSN sale. Actually, there's one thing. If you're, and it's not RPG related, but if you're into SNK stuff, there are several things that they've got on discount. Like you can get Fatal Fury, Garou, Mark of the Wolves for $7.50 instead of $15. They've also got the four character DLC pack for King of Fighters 14 for $10 instead of $20. So I jumped on that because I can pay. I'll pay $2.50 a piece for new characters. I won't pay $5. Mm-hmm. So.
But there's also Alien Isolation on the PS4 for $15.
That's a good deal.
Mirror's Edge Catalyst for $12. Agents of Mayhem on Steam. It came out recently, but I think there's like a launch discount of like 27%, so it's like $43.
Yeah, and those PSN sale, it's those the cost, the prices are lower if you're a Plus member as well.
Yeah.
You can also get some digital codes for PSN cards for like 12 and 13 months, which would be it's normally $60. This one would be $53.99, and this other one's $22.49. And there's some PSN cards that you can get for cheaper.
Yeah. Let me get caught up in chat here. Freak5 says it was a residual high from the last time I smoked.
Which was about 5 minutes ago, let's face it. He's actually smoking right now.
How dare you? It'd be 5 minutes after the show, I can tell you that much. You know what? Yeah, I have to smoke to get through this show, man. You guys, man, are something else. No,
wine.
There's some PCDLs here, but I'll just post the link in chat.
I smoke so much, my kids are high. That's pretty good.
Secondhand highness.
If a mosquito
Frank smokes so much, his grandchildren will be born high.
I like Frank smokes so much, his crabs are high.
How dare you?
I can do it in YouTube chat, so I'm going to have to do it in Wicked Radio Show.
Exiled! Wait.
If a mosquito bit Frank, it would get high.
How dare you? Actually, mosquitoes love me, man. I can't stay out 2 seconds without a mosquito wanting to.
You've turned mosquitoes into potheads. Good job, Frank.
I have, yeah.
And I was. Oh, and by the way, I was mistaken. It wasn't a mosquito bite. I was just itchy. I get it. I thought one of the mosquitoes had bitten my finger, but no, it was just an itch. I still have not bitten. I've not gotten bitten by a single mosquito since I moved to Colorado.
You suck, Mike.
It's funny because we're both out there and. Yeah, he's sitting here like, oh, he was practically like swatting the air every 2 seconds, and I'm just like, la 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 la.
Yeah, I know. Fuck.
It's because they can smell the pot coming off Frank. They're like, dude. They're talking to other mosquitoes. Like, dude.
It does.
You gotta get a hit off of this shit.
I pretty much smell like
man,
that.
Man, that guy right there, dude.
How dare you guys, man? How dare you? All right.
Don't try the brown person, man. It's a bummer, man.
All right, let's move on. Any Twitter questions or comments, Break?
There are some Twitter things. I'm sorry, whatever happened to you. There's some of what you said, Frank, that you repaired episode 4, or which one did you? Well, I'll read it verbatim.
Yeah.
Fixing episode 450. Please re-download if possible. Should be better. 449 fixed as good as I can, and from now on, we are solid.
Yeah.
So hopefully that works good.
Yeah.
Frank sent me a picture of something. I can't tell if it's a dead bird or what the hell it is.
Yeah. By the way, shout out to Retro UK for letting us know about the echo problem that we had with the past couple episodes. Thank you very much, Retro UK. So, on Twitter. Anyway.
Next is... you again, Frank, telling everybody that we're going to be on Twitch, Ustream, YouTube, and just search for RP Grinders, which was responded to by our friend Wyland, who says he wished he could join us, but he is stuck at work. And if you want to follow him, if you'd like to follow Wyland on Twitter, his handle is at johnnywfei. Johnny Wufei.
Yeah.
That is one of the nice features of YouTube and Twitch with the auto archive, he also says.
Yeah, so. it auto archives. So if you're not listening to us on iTunes, which most likely you are, or if you happen to want to see kind of the video of the show, you can go to YouTube and get it, and Twitch and Ustream. So big changes. So I'm pretty happy with the results so far. There's some kinks to be worked out. So, all right, anything else, Break?
And once we get rid of Frank, that'll be the last thing. And
how dare you? You're exiled, you son of a bitch. Exiled! All right. All right, anything else?
What is it? How does the kids say? Cry more.
How dare you, you son of a bitch. You know, I could punch you right now if I wanted to. all right. Anything else, Break?
No, that's it for Twitter.
Okay. Well, thanks for that, Freak5 and Retro UK. Really, really appreciate it if you guys want to
Freak5. You mean Wyland?
And Wyland. Yeah, Wyland too. I'm
Freak,
so used
Freak
to...
5 sent me a picture that I don't understand. He needs to translate here.
Yeah. Freak 5 is also exiled. all right, now we're going to get to some real crux of the matter stuff here. Stinkos of the
Week. Oh, actually, I did miss one. I missed one, actually. It's from MXT.
Oh, MXT.
And that's the underscore MXT.
Yeah.
It's that simple. His name is that simple. THE_MXT. He says, I like Fridays at 7 more than Saturdays at 3 for a time slot. Saturdays are a tough day to get an audience live. Yeah. But look, we're doing this so we can have Mug. We'd prefer to have Mug than have Fridays.
I'm down for going back to Fridays. I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, Mug.
And the horse you rode in on.
He can come over there and hit you. You know that, right?
you
pull out
your
harmonica.
Yeah, I know. That's actually what I'm going to do is I'm going to set up like some kind of an audio trap so it'll just go off at like 3:30 in the morning.
Oh,
and
it'll
just be nothing but like a harmonica serenading him. It's actually not even serenading.
Harmonica
it'll just be one note just playing continuously throughout the night.
You are working on getting a permanent exile. That's what you're working on.
What about playing the Superman theme in bagpipes too?
How dare you?
Oh. Harmonica and bagpipes combined.
No! Oh, God, man. You guys...
Wow. Okay, I know what the picture is when you guys are done. I'm sorry, I didn't interrupt.
That's right. wow. All right.
Well, since I interrupted, I might as well go ahead. The picture is of a dead bird sitting out of Freak's windowsill at work.
Oh.
That's lovely.
How nice. That's great.
My work, I can see out the windows. I can see King's Island, so it's kind of mean. It's cruel, unusual.
Can you see?
Hey, look, there's a fun place to be. Oh, shit.
Can you see King's Landing is the question. That's what I want to know. All right.
I can see King's Landing from my house.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Eric, you do not have a stinko, it looks like.
Actually, I do. Oh, I mentioned it earlier before we got on.
Oh, okay. What's your stinko?
Car troubles.
Oh, damn. More car trouble, Eric? Damn, dude. When are you going to get a car that doesn't act up on you, man? That sucks, dude.
When it's not American.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
I got a Chevy, racist. So I'm going to go for a Japanese car next.
Here was the advice I was given when I go car shopping. Ford or foreign?
Foreign. Ford. Always.
Ford or foreign. I've had Ford, man. Ford was a pretty awesome car.
Oh, my God. I've had Fords and had
They're
the most...
probably better than fucking Chevrolet.
I like Chevy slightly better than Fords, but Fords, man, holy fuck. Every Ford that I've ever owned has been a pile of fucking junk, man.
I think that's you, Frank. Yeah. I think it's all you.
Nah, Ford
I think
sucks,
you're
smoke.
I think you were getting high in your car, and the car was just like... Oh, well, fuck.
There's probably no doubt.
He got
that.
The car high.
The only American car that you probably wouldn't want to ever have is a GM car.
The car, no, dude, no.
No, I actually owned a GM car. Yeah, I owned two Saturns, and they were both excellent cars.
Yes,
I own a Saturn, and I've had a million problems with it, including recalls.
Yeah, they're awful.
Two or three recalls, actually. Let me see. That was the. Ignition had to be replaced.
I vowed that I will never buy an American car until they get better. I mean, it's as simple as that. They're not as good as...
All you have to do, American companies, is base your business model and builds on Japanese.
Yeah, I wouldn't buy a German car.
All you have to do...
Basically, base your car design philosophy around your animation philosophy. Steal from the Japanese.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Germany used to make really good cars.
Well,
used to.
I mean, honestly, you know, imitation is the best source of flattery. So, I mean, if I was an American car company, I'd be taking every goddamn idea that I had from foreign countries. I mean, there's so many good innovations that they're just not implementing.
But they won't because either they're stubborn or they're cheap and they want to rip people off.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to Breakman. Do you have one this week?
I think mine goes to pretty much what yours and Mugs is going to be.
Yeah.
That'd be the fucking terrorists that are local and the fucking terrorists in other countries. Most of them all, what's it called? Homegrown terrorists.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm super glad you called them terrorists, Breakman, because for the longest in this country, we called people like white supremacists and Nazis and
they want to tear down the foundation of America.
Yeah.
What else are they?
If you're living in America and you're a neo-Nazi, you're a fucking traitor.
Yeah,
They're a terror. If your goal is to incite violence, to destroy and disrupt what America is, then you're a terrorist.
You're a terrorist.
What else are you?
A terrorist and a traitor.
Right. Well, I mean, they want America to go to, I guess, all white society or something. Yeah. I don't know exactly what their goals are.
They're not satisfied with just being racist, so they have to make America the rest of their in their image.
Mug and I have had some pretty deep conversations when it comes to what's going on in the current political climate, and I think more and more people are starting to realize what minorities have known for ages, that Republicans, most of them, are unequivocally racist. Anybody who's defending neo-Nazis right now, that's a Republican or a Democrat for that matter, you're a racist. And you really need to check yourself and look at yourself in the mirror and say, yes, I am racist. How can I quit being racist? Because to be honest with you, this country is a melting pot of all kinds of different ideas and people. And being racist does not advance our crunchy country in any way,
shape, or crunchy.
Yeah, our crunchy country.
Look, you can have different views and stuff, but to consider that your race is to consider yourself better because whether it's race, religion, or whatever, you know, not just race, but some of these other people, it's for whatever fucking reasons. But
I put it this way: I was like,
but hold on, let me finish okay. My thought.
Sorry, go ahead.
They put their race above others. If you consider yourself better, that's racism. But when you know, it's ignorance. But when you start using violence, when you are trying to actively, actively hurt and destroy other individuals because you perceive them as the enemy because they are holding you there, you consider them to hold you back.
Yeah, yeah. There's
like I said, that's terrorist action, and that is the kind of thing that it frankly has to stop.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Breakman.
Do some white people think that they're better than people of color because without black people there wouldn't be white people?
They
count evolution like a ladder. So,
and a lot
they think since they're the lightest, they're better.
Yeah. They blame like Hitler blamed the Jews.
Yeah.
He didn't just blame Jews. He blamed everybody who wasn't, you know, white and blue or white, blonde, blue-eyed. Yeah. Basically. Yeah. And within a certain non-religion, like you had to be or you could be like he was, which was what do you call that? I forget what it was called.
What, the old
indoctrinated right? maybe?
Oh, yeah, indoctrinated, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and or inculcated.
Yeah,
that works too.
Yeah,
but what I was going to say, that's like the way that you know, I have a general approach to that kind of a thing. It's like if you think you're better than other people because of something that you had that you played no role in. It's like by you know, just like an accident of birth. It's like I'm better than some stinky Indian or whatever. You know, like because you were born on a different portion of the world than they were. Mm-hmm. You were like. You didn't do anything to that. It's like it's one of the reasons I generally have a big problem with people who like sports fans who talk about we won. You know, like no,
pride. There's a reason pride is a mortal sin.
Yeah, it's like it's like this misplaced pride. I'm like you had no role. It's like you know you're better than these people because you were born white, and that's. You know, and how is that a credit to you exactly? What did you do? How are you listing that as an accomplishment?
Or you know, replace racism with like just pure arrogance of birth because like rich people and the nobility always thought they were better.
Of course, and of course they thought they were so much better that they couldn't bear the idea of mixing bloodlines to the point where they gave themselves hemophilia.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Here's the thing.
This will also kind of play into my own stink of, which is going to be my rant.
Okay, here we go.
So, I mean, no, you were about to say something, Frank.
No. Go ahead, man. I'm enjoying listening.
All right. I'm sure everyone's seen it. Now, what would happen in Charlottesville? Tempers are very hot right now, and. Not without really fucking good reason.
Oh, and I wanted to say something too, really, really quick. I also meant like what would happen in Europe too, in Spain, specifically like the terrorist attacks they're dealing with.
Yeah,
too.
Fuck that. But like I said, tempers are very hot, and after last weekend, like Monday was a really bad day for me. You know, just emotionally, I'd reached a point where I was just kind of like, you know, maybe it really is hopeless. Maybe there is no, you know, maybe there really is no way to come back from this. Maybe it does just come down to beating the shit out of these people. And, you know, there were some people that kind of, you know, and no one like really directly, you know, spoke to me about it, but I, you know, listening to some people whose opinions I respect and who, you know, and listening to their takes on it and everything. And it kind of pulled me back from that. And like, no, I don't agree with the whole punch a Nazi thing. You know, it's like I want to address a certain meme that's been making the rounds. That's complete and utter bullshit. But you know, the simple fact is, you know, it's, and let me make this perfectly clear. I am absolutely 100% in support of defending yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, if someone takes a swing at you, or someone presents a, you know, like, and this is a legal term here. If someone presents a credible threat, or rather a credible threat of imminent physical danger.
Mm-hmm. The cops use that all the time. Why
can't
we?
They do.
Well, yeah, but hang on. Then yes, it's like if someone, you know, points a, you know, someone like pulls out a gun and points it at you, it's like that is a credible threat of imminent physical danger. You are well within your rights to physically harm that person to preserve your own safety.
Yeah.
However, the attitude I'm seeing from a lot of people on, you know, people that, you know, that I normally would consider, you know, very compassionate people. And I understand that their reaction to this is because they are compassionate people, and they, you know, they are worried for their friends and people and their family and people they care about. But this whole attack a Nazi on site thing, you cannot fucking do that.
Don't stoop to their level.
I agree.
But here's the thing. Violence has never.
Violence? Once, you know what violence does?
Break. Hang on. Let me finish. I'm sorry. Violence has never once in the history of the human race killed an idea.
Yeah.
You cannot beat the Nazi out of people.
Violence begets violence. Is what
I was always. It's like the thing is, these people want you to hit them.
Yeah.
They want you to make them martyrs.
They're looking for an excuse.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's not hard to. I mean, and if you really want to get into a fight with a Nazi, you know, insult them a little bit. These people are fucking children.
Yeah.
You know, either insult them or get them to lose their jobs.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's like if you like, and you know, Eli Bosnick from The Scathing Atheist, he said, like, you want to hurt a Nazi, donate to a school.
Yeah. Well, that's all fine and good from your perspective, Mug. And I,
more like your Facebook post suggested throwing glitter bombs on them.
Yes, I will stand by that because, you know, throw a glitter bomb, don't throw a punch, because there's nothing funnier than an unintentional or an unwillingly fabulous Nazi.
Yeah. Here's the problem with that, Mug. There's an inherent problem with that argument, and it's the fact that that ideal is kind of the rosy way of thinking of the world. And I've talked to you about this, Mug. Like, there's a certain point where, I mean, I was watching an interview with her last name is Sanders. She's an African American woman. There was the governor of Virginia that basically told her to shut up on the air. The problem lies with a lot of people's thinking. It, like you said, they're ideas. It's not a matter of, you know, just putting everybody in a camp and killing them all, a la what happened in Germany. But people of color can't help but look at it that way. So when you frame it to where, you know, let's take the high road. Let's go ahead and not do violence, which I wholeheartedly agree. Violence is not the answer, but in retrospect, how can you not respond with violence if all you're getting is violence?
Well, he did say that, though. He said if you are being attacked, you fight back. That's different.
Right.
He's saying don't go attacking them.
Don't go punch
that's what they want.
Richard no Spencer just because.
Yeah,
it's like don't go clock a neo-Nazi from behind because that's what they want you to do.
Yeah. Because the thing is, all it does, it galvanizes them, it calcifies their beliefs, and those who are just kind of lukewarm about it and are just kind of going along because of social pressure or that kind of thing, you know, that all that does is show them, oh wow, these people really are just that bad.
Yeah.
And the problem is that, you know, there are people out there, you know, the answer to bad speech must always, can only be more speech.
Yeah.
better speech. And I'm not talking about shouting these people down, you know, go, you know, go out there, you know, like, you know, make your presence known, you know. And the thing is like, you look at, you know, well, the Westboro Baptist Church, some of the most loathsome people in the fucking universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I refuse to say that. Yeah,
but the people that turned away from it, Nathan Phelps, Megan Phelps Roper, when they pulled away from their church, and like, you know, it would be very easy to say like, no, you cannot be forgiven for what you've done. Yeah. Like, but when these people, when they pull away from that, like Nate Phelps is an amazing person and an amazing speaker. And, you know, I think there's a book out. I think it's called Not My Father's Son, because he is the son of Fred Phelps.
Yeah.
But like, these are the times when you need to welcome these people. And, you know, when you can, you know, there is a point. I mean, and don't get me wrong, some of these people will never be reached. But like, at what point, you know, where does, you know, you also have to look at, like, if you have this blanket policy of just, you know, punch a Nazi, when and where, at what age do you consider them to be fully responsible for their own action?
Yeah.
Like, is it 12, you know, 12 years old, 16?
Yeah.
How far can you go? Can you just choke one out? Can I beat him down? Can I kill him?
Yeah.
And, but there's, you know, one of the things that there, hang on, but the thing is, there's, you know, the meme that I was going to refer to is this idiotic fucking thing saying that by displaying the Nazi flag and throwing the Heil Hitler salute and that kind of thing, they're inciting, and therefore it's not protected speech. That's not fucking true.
Well,
it is protected speech. Hang on. The Supreme Court has ruled on this, and that's why the link that's sitting on the screen there.
Right.
It's not the part. It was like in 1978, National Socialist Party of America versus Village of Skokie. You know, if you see someone with, you know, holding up a Nazi flag, and you just go, "Hey, fuck you," bam, you're at fault.
Hold on a second here, Mug. I think I understand what you're saying, dude, but. Here, I have a unique perspective on all of this because my grandfather told me stories of World War II. And the swastika in particular is one symbol that I would not mind being totally eradicated from the lexicon. You know what I mean? Like,
I think that the swastika is irredeemable. You know, it's an ancient symbol of good luck that the National Socialists co-opted because it looked like a stylized SS for Schutzstaffel.
So how do you think a Jewish person feels when someone puts up that flag mug? I mean, that to me is hurtful, and
the problem is, don't get me wrong, like, I have family members who died in the camps.
Yeah.
You know, I never met them, but there are like branches of my family tree that were, you know, that are gone now.
Yeah, but
because of that. I see that, and it's like it doesn't. It's like that's disgusting, and you bet your ass, I'll confront them about it.
Here's,
but I'm not going to physically assault them.
I agree.
Because the thing is, you know, displaying the flag or displaying Nazi armbands, wearing the regalia. Yes, it is. It's disgusting. It's distasteful. But it is not illegal. It is protected speech. And if you physically assault these people just because they're doing this, you're not in the right.
Here's the
problem. They will attack you. Like, that's what they want, is they want violence because they want they want that proof that they're right. They want that validation, thing.
Here's the
problem. Then they're legally right because you attack them.
Here's the problem. I'm a big advocate of free speech, and I'm totally against censorship. The problem is when something is incendiary, as incendiary as a swastika or throwing up the salute, as you said, Mug, it is too incendiary and it's too fresh. The wounds are too fresh to perpetrate that. And I believe in this country, the United States of America, if it's purported to be what it is, which I think we're seeing that it really isn't, then there would be no place for the swastika or the Hitler salute in this country. Germany has done an excellent job of taking down memorials And
yeah,
you know,
I mean, like, yeah,
hold on. Let me finish. In Germany, it is, like you said, illegal to have a swastika or do the Heil Hitler salute, all that type of stuff. Here's the deal. It needs to end, right? There is an end game to this. There is no place in this country, as great as this country is, there is no place for racism. And I think it's played out all the way to the top, all the way to the president of the United States, who I can say unequivocally is a racist, white supremacist.
Can we talk about him for a moment when you're done?
Yeah.
Is he going to leave the office soon?
He is at the very least, and I will die knowing that President Trump is a racist, Nazi, white supremacist piece of fucking shit that was lying in wait all this time. We all thought he was a bumbling idiot, but he is no bumbling idiot. He is just an out and out fucking racist.
I don't know about that now. I thought he had some plans, but think about this. His goal or objective, what is it? By supporting the neo-Nazis and Nazis, because most of the country hates them.
Well, here's the deal.
That's
the
like is, saying this, don't
hang,
elect
hang on.
Me.
I think I can.
I don't understand.
I think I can offer some insight into that.
But I was going to say, there are not enough neo-Nazis in this country to get him reelected.
There's enough white people.
But the thing is, consider this. Hang on, Frank. Trump is all about image. Trump is all about popularity. I mean, think about how much he cared. He made this big show of his inauguration, was the biggest one ever, and all stuff. Right. And when it very clearly wasn't, the thing is, he knows, he's not an intelligent man. He's not well read. He's not well spoken. But he is intelligent enough to know where, he knows where the people that are loyal to him stand. And it may only be 38% of the country. It won't, and these are the people that will support him no matter what. But the thing is, he will continue to pander to them because they will feed him what he wants to hear. Yeah, you're doing a good job.
That's all he gives a shit about.
That's what this is about?
Is his ego? He is 100% pure ego.
You guys are wrong, and I'll tell you why. It's not about ego at all. That's a small part of it. The main crux of it and the problem with all these talking points that I've even seen on multiple interviews – multiple newscasts, regardless if it's Fox fucking News or MSNBC or CNN or any of this, it all boils down to this: racism. All right, Donald Trump, can we just call a spade and not give him excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse?
I mean, he fucked over people who were in his apartments that he owned.
We should have known this.
He's like, fucking over people he's hiring.
Yes, he's fucked over mostly minorities. Okay, you can look at a history of Donald Trump. Okay, this is a guy whose father was in the KKK, got arrested for being in the KKK when he had some business deals in New York. He screwed over minorities by putting pressure on them for rent and a myriad of other things. He put out a full page ad in the New York Times to call for the execution of the Central Park Five, which if anybody hasn't kept up on that story, it's an amazing story. These people were not involved in the rape and murder, I believe, of a white woman. They had nothing to do with it. They were exonerated, and to this day, he still would prefer them to be put to death because he's a fucking racist. All right, he hires Steve Bannon, a known white supremacist sympathizer, as his chief strategic officer. We allowed this guy. All right. 6 million people voted for this. All right. They knew he was a racist. And We got him in office. How? Because we have a bunch of racist people in this fucking country, and it's disgusting. And I'm not saying all Republicans are racist, but if you're a Republican right now and you defend even one thing of Donald Trump, then I will consider you a racist. You are a racist human being. If you think his ideals and his ideas of a wall being built, you know, what he wants to do with drugs, what he wants to do with...
I disagree with you, Frank, because I think a lot of his supporters watch Fox News, and Fox News is very good at spinning things to make him look and sound like that Trump isn't a bad guy in any way.
No. I've been watching Fox News, even Fox News now. If you look at Shepard Smith on Fox News, there's no excuse. Yeah. They are backed into a corner, Fox News. They have no...
Okay, backs. I don't actively watch it. Yeah. I just... Yeah.
I do.
Although I will say, like, historically, Shepard Smith is one of the very few just active anchors on that network who's been kind of notorious for just kind of losing his shit, like, just fuck the party line. Because I think it was during Katrina when, you know, he went down there and it's like he was in tears on the air, like talking to one of the people in the studio. It's like, the guy in the studio was just kind of like, yeah, well, Bush is doing this and he's doing that. And he's like, Smith was just like, there's no excuse for this. These people need help.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like, him and like Shepard Smith and Megyn Kelly were the ones where it's just like I never liked Megyn Kelly except for like when someone was being like this overtly sexist, you know, just, you know, like, nope, she would be the one who would call them out on it. It's like, all right, good on you. At least you've got a little bit of a spine.
Yeah, and
well, that kind of makes me think of our Republican governor of Ohio, Kasich, because he hates Trump so much, it's actually making him a better politician, because basically anything Trump does, he immediately does the opposite.
It's like Lindsey Graham in South Carolina. I mean, Lindsey Graham hates Trump.
Yeah. Absolutely. So wait, does that make Trump the Sith and him the Jedi? Like, balance to the Force.
Like, you don't even know a lot of the shit that Kasich's done, all this horrible stuff. But like, now that Trump is in power, like, it's turning him into like one of the good guys. Like, it's like, what the?
Yeah, fuck, I mean, when you've got Mitt Romney sitting here like writing these long screeds about, you know, like, you know, about Trump and saying this racist bullshit you're propping up is not okay. I'm like, Mormon
hurting our position in the world.
You know,
like,
what?
Mormon is condemning a man for racism.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. They all are fucking cowards. Okay, you guys still miss the point. These people are
I get it. They can say whatever they want. It doesn't. Right. You know, it doesn't amount to anything until it's what they're saying on the Senate floor.
No, I disagree.
And their vote reflects
that. Yeah, their votes never reflect it. That's the whole thing. We're like all sympathetic to Mitt Romney. And
I'm not really.
No, I'm not sympathetic to him. I just thought.
I think you're misunderstanding what we're saying.
No, I know what you're saying, Brake. Here's the thing. They always pull the wool over everybody's eyes, okay? When Watergate happened, right, Nixon was a known fucking racist. I mean, there's no question about it, okay? Here's the thing. When we pull the wool over everybody's eyes and say, you know what, our system is strong, our system is going to get rid of this and this and that and the other, we end up with somebody like Trump, okay? Let's say by some miracle he wasn't a racist, right? His agenda is money, right? He wants money, more money and more power. You guys said it very eloquently. I don't have to retread that. But under the guise of being extremely racist, right? And you were right, Breakman. He's pandering only to the very, very base. But that's a pretty big fucking base, dude. I mean,
I don't think it is. Like, no. We've seen his numbers. Like, his numbers are shrinking.
And he's still in office. So what does that tell you?
That has nothing to do with his base. Yeah. The only thing that's going to, you know, he has to be, you know, Congress has to be willing to impeach him for high crimes.
And it needs to be unanimous. Anybody let's say they bring up articles of impeachment, and even one of those senators does not impeach him, then you can unequivocally say that that person's a fucking
racist. No,
that's
not how politics works.
You cannot unequivocally say
anything.
Yeah.
There are people in his party who don't think Trump is like extreme enough.
No question. And that's awful.
I don't know if you guys heard. Since you know the human cold sore, Bannon is out.
Is that a super villain name?
The human cold sore. Because he really does look like a human cold sore. But you know, he's saying how he wants to create a news network that's further to the right than Fox is, because Fox isn't conservative enough.
Yeah. Well, there's no question. I think
he's back at Breitbart.
Breitbart. But the thing is, guys, the whole thing is going to be a missed opportunity, in my opinion, because what's going to happen? He's going to get impeached. I think it's imminent. We all can see that.
But impeachment is only the first step in removal from office.
Right.
It doesn't mean he'll actually get removed from office.
I understand.
A lot of people don't understand that.
Let me finish up here, Breakman, and then I'll stop my long-winded rant on Republicans.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to like. This point, I feel like it's me and Mug versus you, and that's not what we're trying to do.
Because
none of us are on his side in any way. We're all on the same side.
I'm kind of like trying to make you guys see what minorities have seen from the beginning. You see what I'm saying? Like there is no question.
You're a minority?
Yeah, exactly. There is no question that this shit goes on, and people keep denying it. You know, they say not every Republican is racist, but yet every Republican votes for Republican senators and congresspeople and presidents and vice presidents and Democrats.
You're talking about watching Fox News, and you know, like, Fox News will convince people that, like, the Democrats are ones that are – Okay. Being racist, and I do know racist Democrats.
Okay, here's the thing.
So it's not just Republicans that are racist.
All right, can I finish? Let me finish, and then
I'm sorry. I'm going to mute myself. I'm sorry.
No,
I promise
no, okay.
I wouldn't. I'm sorry.
When I get a thought out, I have to finish it. Otherwise, it goes into the ether. But what I'm saying is, what happens is we lose sight, right? Everybody's talking about race relations right now, and we're losing sight of the real problem. The real problem is racism, right? Everybody is talking about what happened in Charlottesville. You know, people are against Antifa. It's always a divide, right? And what I'm saying is we can work towards getting racism should just be like a thing of the past, right? We thought it was
but
a
it
thing
will
of
never
the past.
Be.
Hold on. Hold on.
I think there are people that are always going to be ignorant,
okay.
Maybe by their own choosing even.
All right, guys. You guys are not letting me
As long as there is any quality, there's still going to be, you know, there's going to be problems.
Look, this is what I'm saying, okay? If we continue to sweep this shit under the rug like we always do, and everything is just normal and peachy after we impeach Donald Trump, i.e. get another piece of shit in there like Pence or whoever the fuck is in there, what I'm saying is this. We will go back to being, quote, normal, but nothing will have changed. That's what I'm saying. Nothing will have changed.
Yeah, absolutely.
I agree with that. I agree 100%.
Hold on. Let me just get this point out. No, I'm not done. I'll tell you when I'm done. When that happens, we're going to be at a point where the more things change, the more they stay the same, right? And this is why I have a problem with Democrats, right? They preach that they're on the side of good, they're the non-racist ones, et cetera, et cetera. But all they want to do is keep the same people in office, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, all these old school people that benefited from the civil rights movement, right? Do you guys realize we don't have equal rights now. Look at the prison systems. Look at
of course we don't.
Yeah, look at the prison systems.
Look at enforcement of drug policy.
Look at drug policy.
It's very plainly obvious,
right?
You know, just to look at statistics for for random, random searches,
right.
Random, like look at the fucking TSA. I mean, it's very obvious.
Right.
We don't have equal protection under
there
the law.
There is no under equal protection, and that's what I've been saying all along. I've been saying it for years and years and years now. People, like, if you go back into the archives of RP Grinders, I've said some what seem like outlandish things in the past, right? And people would always. I had a former co-host that thought I was the craziest guy in the world because I told him people would watch me, my every move in a store, or that I was being paranoid, that coming up with every excuse in the book because he never lived a day in my shoes. That's the problem. People have not lived in their shoes.
I will say I'm not so certain that's so much about the color of your skin as the fact that you are a hunchback.
How dare you? How dare you?
Sorry.
How dare you?
We've gotten very deep in here, and I just thought, let's introduce a tiny bit of levity.
So what kind of
we've got like 15 minutes.
No.
Bigotry is that?
Check this out.
Hunchbackia?
Yeah, hunchback.
Are you a hunchbackian?
Hunchbackist.
He's from Hunchbackia.
Yeah, exactly.
that's the nation that Dracula was from, right? He was from Hunchbackia in Transylvania.
Yeah. I think that's
Dr. Frankenstein.
How dare you guys?
Sorry, I'm thinking of Wallachia.
Yeah. but that's the problem. And that's why, white people look at black people and say, well, I don't understand. Things are so much better than they were in the 60s. Really? You think that? You think that today is better than what we had in the 60s? I guess there's...
Yeah, they didn't even have video games back in the fucking 60s. Fuck that shit. Today is way better than the
60s. No iPhones either.
Yeah. Here's the thing.
There have been incremental improvements.
Yeah, and what incremental improvements?
Hang on. Wait, Frank. The core problems of racism... essentially they just got pushed underground.
Mm. Well, no. there has been no incremental difference as far as I've seen. And that's coming from my perspective. I've dealt with the same
shit. How dare
shit.
You have a different perspective?
I know. here's the thing. Back in the day, cops were just as bad as they are now, right? It's just now that we're kind of fucking seeing the point. I just saw a story on a cop that decided that he was going to be a drug dealer, steal evidence from a police locker and sell them. And he did. And he got sentenced. You know what he got sentenced to? 9 months of probation. Do you know what would have happened if me went into a police station, stole evidence, and sold drugs on the streets? How long would I be in prison, guys? You tell me.
Probably a life.
At least 30 years.
Okay, 30 years as opposed to 9 months of probation for a police officer that should know the law better than I do.
Oh, and you got to punch a cop when you're in there. That way you get a lifetime sentence or maybe even death penalty.
Okay, so there you go. And the point I'm making is this,
if you punch a cop, he'll just shoot you. And that'll be
yeah, that's a good point. You get an immediate death sentence. Yeah.
Unless you're white, you can brandish. You can point a gun at a cop if you're white.
But here's the point. We make light of it, right? I
don't think that's true because we've seen them. I've seen them. They point at their guns in general. I think, but
yeah.
I'm not.
I mean, we make light of it in the sense that we make light of it to highlight how ridiculous it is.
And actually,
in all seriousness, Frank, I hope you do understand that when we make light of it, we are doing it to highlight how.
I know you guys, right? I know you guys, but this right here is part of the problem with the rest of society. We make too much light of it, and we never, ever point to the seriousness, the gravity of the situation. You see what I'm saying? Like, right now. everybody should be up in arms and saying, you know, not making excuses for anything a cop does. Like, when I come up with these things, and I see things, and I look at the, I make sure to look at the videos because I want to know these people. I want them to be outed. I want everybody else to watch these videos and see the problem, because we always turn a blind eye to it, and we never ever take a moment to think, what about that person's family? What if I was in that situation? But white people can't have a sense of that because it very rarely happens to them. They very rarely get this emotional about things and understand things. The point is this: when the protesters in Charlottesville were there and the car rammed through, it was awful. All right, a person died. All right. If it would have been a black person, I can almost guarantee you Charlottesville wouldn't have been Charlottesville. It would have just been another incident thrown under the rug. And
oh, yeah. It was a pretty white woman got. And actually, I don't know who said it, but someone was saying, like, I'm almost glad that it was, you know, a pretty white girl who got killed, just because at least it made people pay attention. Her death, you know,
right.
If for no other reason, her death accomplished something.
How sad is it that?
And that's a shitty statement about the state of our country.
Right. How sad is it that we have this much of an uproar, which we should. Everybody should be appalled at what happened in Charlottesville. No question about it. It was awful. And there is no moral equivalency between Antifa and the others, because Antifa is there to protect, not to, like what you said, Mug, they don't do anything until somebody else does something to them, right? So here's the point. Instead of being outraged at all the black people being killed in this country, being incarcerated, and I'm talking about Hispanics too, I'm lumping all minorities into this one group. If we had as much outrage for what happened to Philando Castile, to Gardner in New York, to Tamir Rice, if we had that much outrage, and justice was served in those instances, and by the way, justice is not
laws need to change, because the definition of justice basically is they go to court, yes, and the court decides if you're innocent or guilty.
Right, it's based on prejudice,
as opposed to we need people being like punished for the guilty things they do, not getting off because.
Well, I mean, cops are a prime example.
Because the laws are basically geared to protect the police for one thing.
Yeah, and it shouldn't be that way. And we could go to a more.
And I've heard people say, like, well, they have the rights to go home to their family and stuff. All of us do. They are the ones signing up for the dangerous
absolutely
jobs, not the rest of us.
Thank you, Breakman. You hit on a point that is the ultimate backbreaker to someone protecting the police. They have a choice to do something else if they wish to. Being a police officer,
I've heard of a lot of people getting out of it. Yeah, like there are a lot of young retired police officers because they're like, you know what, this isn't what I thought it was.
Well, and a lot of them are cowards. Just look at what happened to Columbine. Did you guys see the video of Columbine? These police officers wouldn't even go into the building to save these people. There would have been way more people saved if the police actually did their job and went into the fucking building. I'm not saying they could have prevented all the deaths that happened there. I'm saying they could have at least prevented a few. Even one would have been worth it for the police to enter that building. And still, we revere cops as the ultimate protectors of our freedom. Fuck them. Fuck Republicans. Fuck them all. That's what I say. I'm not saying go out and punch a Nazi. What I'm saying is until they really take a deep look inside themselves and change their ways, they're fucking racist and just admit it. That's what I'm saying. They're just racist. That's it. So that's my rant. Sorry, guys. I know I go off and, you know. But I have to get it off my chest because I see it all the time. Like I... There are so many things that happen in society that people just don't notice, but minorities do. And it's sad. It sucks. It sucks to be a minority in this country. And that's, you know what? It should be just the opposite. We should be, minorities in this country should be revered for their diversity. Like, we should be happy that we live in communities with black people and brown people and yellow people and red people. We should be happy for this. But instead...
And purple people, because they're the first ones to go when the purple people eater.
Purple people's lives
God
matter,
damn
man.
Those purple people eaters.
Purple people's lives matter. Purple lives matter.
Purple lives matter. And that's another and thing.
Actually, how's that for a t-shirt idea? You know, draw a cartoon of like, you know, a one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater with a big thing through it and say purple lives matter.
Yeah, Freak Phi is making a good point in chat. He's saw a video with Dave Chappelle. He was talking about people saying blue lives matter. He said blue isn't a life. You choose to be a cop.
It's a vocation. Yeah. It's not, you know, it's not a race. It's a vocation.
Yeah. If it's shitty, you should quit. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the simple fact is if it's something that, you know, if you're discriminating against people for something they literally have no choice in, they're like, what's the color of your skin? Well, kind of, you know, kind of a dark chocolate brown, milk chocolate brown, you know. Die, motherfucker! You know, it's like, sorry, that's not cool. It's like, person literally can do nothing. And how sad is it that a lot of these people, you know, if it came right down to it, I mean, if, you know, or say like, maybe not so much as individuals, but you have to wonder if some of these minority, you know, especially black people, because I honestly, you know, short of Native Americans, I don't think anybody has it worse in this country than black people.
Yeah, I think I would disagree with that. I think most minorities have it as bad as black
people. Well, let's put it this way. I think most racism in in the country is especially vitriolic toward black people, because you know, Hispanics, you know, people don't like them because they're icky. They're just foreign. Their culture is weird. They're, you know, greasy, smelly, whatever. You know, all these.
That's just Frank, though.
Well, that's true. But but these are just the fact that Frank lives up to the stereotype is not an excuse to tar everyone
How
else.
How dare you?
Frank, okay?
You forgot lazy. You forgot lazy.
There's that too. The stereotypical sleepy Mexican.
How but dare
my
you?
My point was that I got away from my point. But it's like, I do have to wonder if you see, like, the fact that, you know, minorities, black people in particular, like black parents have to have the talk with their kids about how to survive an interaction with the police.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never had to have, my parents never had to have that talk with me. Oh, I never had to have that conversation with my stepkids.
No.
Because they're white.
Here's the difference between.
My parents can ahead have a talk.
But hang on.
That was only because the cop called on me when I was really young.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I was going somewhere specific with it.
Sorry.
But I was thinking, like, you know, I have to wonder if minority parents don't sometimes wish, like, I wish I could change the color of my kid's skin just so I could, you know that he's, like, odds are good he's going to come home safe tonight.
Yeah. Actually, Zombie. I'm looking at the new chat. It's crazy. Freak 5 said something very. Very poignant. I tend to disagree because I'm very proud that I'm, you know, of Hispanic descent. But he said, if I could quit being black, I would. And you know what? That would be an initial reaction of a minority. And to your point, Mug, you said about blacks having it worse and whatnot. In my view, it's equal. I didn't have that talk, and the fact that black people have to have that talk is a difference. But the difference is I experienced all of that without the talk. You see what I'm saying? So
yeah. Well, what I mean is that there's, you know, violence, like police violence and everything. I think it's the perception among a lot of white people in America is that, you know, blacks were slaves and they still deserve to be slaves.
Yeah.
There's
yep.
this whole
yep.
notion of like, you know, like, yeah, and I guess like it's the mindset is that, you know, Hispanics are good for doing menial labor, but really it's best if they would just go away. Blacks are fine as long as they're slaves. Yeah, yeah. Blacks should be slaves and absolutely nothing more.
Well, I would argue that Hispanics are slaves too, and you look need to.
I'm not talking about getting into semantic argument. I'm talking about the literal slave trade that built this country.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is,
but that mentality has never left.
Yeah, it's never left, but it also includes Hispanics in that too, because I mean, you need look no further than the president himself. I mean, he got 76 foreign visas. Where do you think he's going to get those people to work on his fucking house or his mansion? Sure, he's going to pay pretty well. And it's going to seem like things are great. I mean, just look at what he said.
But I'm not talking about it. I'm talking about the average, the average white person. And it's like, I was raised in the South. So, yeah, there was a lot of just ambient racism that, like, even though my parents never, like, taught it to me, it's like you pick it up from just like the general social atmosphere around you.
Can we agree that at the very least that that white people's thinking hasn't changed much? Can we agree on that?
I agree with that. I mean, the thing is, it is it's improving by very, very, very small degrees. Like with each generation, you look at kids these days. I mean, and what I actually is something I saw that was funny. Like someone had screenshotted a post from some racist asshole who was saying literally lamenting that kids these days. You see these you've gone to some theater thing where it's like the princess was black and and the prince was Hispanic. Like, and how are we going to teach these? What's wrong with this generation where these kids just don't seem to care about the differences between them? And I just thought that was so funny. I'm just you're seriously crying about this.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's funny. I think there is, I'm not a white person per se, but, if I was, I would,
what would you mean per se?
I would listen. What I would say is this:
most racist thing said on this show so far. Moria, you win.
What I was going to say is that I have a perception, and I don't know if it's a true perception, but I mean, politics and being life in general has proven otherwise. I think that white people look at all other races with the same disdain. And I can't think of another, maybe some tribes.
But I know a lot of white people. I know what's going on. I know that they're basically having their views reinforced. But they're being told that the racism, the things you're seeing on TV are really just like the outliers and stuff like that.
Yep.
Like, this isn't what's really happening. Right. And this is what they're being told.
Yep.
And it's being reinforced to them. It's not that they are racist per se. It's that they are being basically lied to.
Well, right. But lies.
Yeah, I mean, it's like it is. Racism is taught.
Lies are no excuse to be that way. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not an excuse.
That's true. That's true. But that's one of the things where, education and actually the easiest way, studies have repeatedly shown that the surest way to get people to change their attitudes about that kind of thing is social pressure.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And it is the surest way to change someone's mind about something deeply ingrained.
Yeah.
Like, when you make that position untenable to maintain, like when you don't provide, this is where it's like, you don't just go around, you shouldn't say that. Someone will punch you. It's like, no, it's like, someone will call you out for it. It's like, no one wants to be around people like that. It's like, you'll lose your fucking job and you'll deserve it. I saw this meme said, and it was like in songs, like, if you're a Nazi and you're fired, it's your fault.
Yeah.
You went out with the mob and you lost your fucking job. If you're not there and you're fired, it's your fault.
Look, here's the my final point on things. I have a healthy, a much healthier outlook on what foreign countries do, especially Germany. I have a very healthy respect for what they did because after the war, the people there were ashamed. And And you don't see swastikas, you don't see white power, you don't see any of that stuff except for very, I mean, like super uber tiny. And they're on the fringe of like being out of existence, like on their own, because it's not sustainable. What I'm saying is this. I hope that after this Trump debacle, because that's what it is. It's a Trump debacle, and I'm ashamed that we had 6 million people vote for this guy. But I think in the end, if we can look at this and we can have those societal pressures to not say or do or think these things, then I think we'll be a better place until then. But I'm not super optimistic because a lot of the same Republicans are going to be there and a lot of the same Democrats. Incrementalism doesn't work for the United States anymore. And I am going to stay independent. I'm not going to be a Democrat because I don't think Democrats want real change. They want the same thing. And that's what is keeping our country back. Instead of putting on a platform of let's get more jobs, let's you know do Medicare for all, which that is the one thing that I find deplorable about a lot of people in this country, that we don't want to have health care for everybody. There are still 30 million people that are uninsured in this country, and that
my family still believes the lie that the health insurance, the universal health insurance in most countries is garbage. Yeah. And that's the reason why we shouldn't have it, because it'll be garbage.
All you have to do is look to the neighbors to the north to battle that myth and destroy that myth. It's
well, the thing is, people don't want it because they think it's like, well, I don't want to have to pay into a system that's going to help all these people who are just like shitless. The thing is, Americans have been brought
up. Yeah, it's not perfect, but it's a lot better.
but the thing is, like, Americans have been brought up on this mindset that, you know, if you put your mind to it and you work really hard, you can be anything you want. Even I'm like, I was certainly raised on that.
That's a gigantic lie, because I work really hard and I'm not rewarded for it.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, you look at people like these, you know, the Hispanics who are working out in these jobs that no one fucking wants.
Yeah.
People that are they took a job working on the highway or something, like, you know, laying asphalt picking crops and shit like that. Yeah. Nobody wants to do these jobs. They're doing it. They're working a hell of a lot harder than I am. I'm working in an office job.
Yeah.
You know, and they're making less money than I am. And it's like, and it's not because they don't deserve, and it's not because they deserve less. It's not because they work hard. You know, they don't work as hard. You know, but we have this thing like where the term that I've heard used to describe it is like we live in a nation of people who think they are not poor, but they are temporarily embarrassed millionaires.
Yeah. Well,
and that's the thing. It's just like, you know, so it's like if you're not and because of this mindset, it's like if you're poor, it's because you're not trying hard enough.
Yeah,
like, and that's complete and utter bullshit.
That is total bullshit, man. The wealth inequality in this country is absolutely atrocious. It's 99% to 1%. So in all reality, those same neo-Nazis that were crying after the fact, they're in the same boat as everybody else.
Cantwell, like, I fucking love seeing that video of him. Because actually, the best thing was,
it's
like,
the best.
It was intercut of him, like, and we were there and we were peaceful, and intercut with that Vice thing of him saying, no, we're not peaceful. We'll fucking kill people if we have to. You know that?
It was great. It was great. But see, that's the thing that needs to be exposed more often. We need to see more of that. You know, we need to use their words against theirs. It's just totally weird. It's backwards. This country is completely backwards. I think what installs
one of the problem with the new Nazi groups is they like to target the fringe kids and people with mental illness.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons. Yep. And that's one of the harder things to break. You know, somebody who's mentally ill. And
mentally
has prejudices.
Not just that, but you have these kids who are raised by these racist parents. Fed this narrative of how, you know, anything that goes wrong in your life, like, you can do anything you want if you work hard enough. You have the opportunity. So we're going to show you, like, but anything, and it's like, but underlying all that is the anything that doesn't go right in your life, it's probably because someone else took what belonged to you.
Yeah,
what was rightfully yours.
Check
and
this.
Who's the people who have stuff that, you know, that don't deserve it? Who intrinsically doesn't deserve to have nice things?
Yeah.
Those other people over there, the ones that look different.
Yep.
Our tax dollars are paying for them.
Yep. Yep, yeah, absolutely.
I hear that.
When they should be paying for you.
Yeah.
And not, and very specifically, not them. But I was going to touch back on, you know, like we were talking about, you know, racism. Racism's never going to go away because tribalism is an inherent property of the human brain. You know, we will always point at people who are not like us and say, they are the other.
Yeah.
You know, like we will fight it, and we can fight it, and we are fighting it, but it is, you know, it is never going to completely go away.
Yeah.
You know, there is no, like, life is never going to be a Benetton ad.
I understand that, but I think if we get trapped in incrementalism, that's what holds us back. And
the problem there is that,
listen,
you're never going to, you can't just do like one massive sweeping change and then everything's better.
No, but here's the thing. I'm tired of incrementalism. Black people are tired of incrementalism. I mean, it doesn't work. It hasn't worked. Incrementalism has brought us Donald Trump. There you go. That's what.
No, I think Donald Trump. I think personally, I think a lot of that is because of our government is the way it is.
Well, and what
because
what
a lot
from?
Of people, and I know people who still see him as like the fringe. Like they see like. Well, I should say they saw him before this last week, but I mean they saw him as the anti-government, and
so,
they still blame the government for everything.
Yeah, we're supposed to like the democratic forum of values, right? What good are values if you can't actually do something for people? All right, when's the last time you saw anything in Congress actually do something for people? And if you tell me Obamacare was a Mitt Romney idea. So
Obamacare is broken. I'm one of the people who's had to pay a lot more.
Absolutely.
Under Obamacare.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
and not,
like
I didn't get any more benefits. I had some benefits taken away, and it's cost me a lot more money.
Yep. If we want to be trapped in more racism and more bullshittery and slavery, we'll still have incrementalism.
What are you proposing as an alternative? Just saying like, okay, this is illegal, this is illegal, this is illegal.
No. You're not listening. You are not listening. We can all rally around healthcare for all. Do you know any one person in this United States besides politicians that don't want healthcare? Do you know of any? Name me one person if you went up to him and said, do you want healthcare?
I'm telling you, Frank, there are a lot of people that listen to like Fox News, and Fox News is telling them that like, no, there's better ways of doing it and stuff like
look,
that.
Look, Bernie Sanders disproved
you, like,
that.
They're being actively lied to.
You're not going to get away with this, Brickman. I'll tell you why. When Bernie Sanders sat in a room with Republican voters, all right, with Republican voters, and he pitched Medicare for All, how many of those people do you think raised their hand and said, yes, I want health care? All right? That's what I'm saying. Bernie Sanders did it. Why can't some more of these fucking Democrats grow a spine and say we want single payer? We want Medicare for all. Instead, they're going against it. All right? That's what I'm talking about.
Actually, a lot of this goes back to what I was talking about before. People have this notion that, you know, they're fed this line that fucking taxation is theft and everything, and be like, oh, yeah, we want health care. It's like, okay, well, here's what we have to do to pay for it. Oh, you mean we have to pay for it? Well, never mind that. I have talked to many people who think that.
I agree, and here's the problem with that argument, Mug. The problem lies with the premiums that people on the top 1% are paying as opposed to the 99%.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay? That's that problem.
I'm just talking about the average person is being fed this line
that taxation is
intrinsically bad.
But if you were to say, if you were to reframe that and say, do you want health care? What do you think they would say? You think they would say, no, I don't want health care?
Some of them do.
I have heard that, Frank. I'm telling you, I've heard people say, like, I've never been sick. I don't need it.
Okay, fine. Then opt out of it. Opt out of it. But when you go to the hospital or when you go to get a drug or you go do something, it's going to cost you a pretty penny because you don't have health care. I guarantee the majority probably – I mean already 61%, which is a big majority of people in this country, want Medicare for all. And not one Republican is advocating for it, and not one Democrat is advocating for it except for Bernie Sanders and a very select few. Very select few, even though the majority of this country, Republicans and Democrats, want Medicare for all. That's what I'm saying. We can't.
Our government's an incompetent, overinflated pile of shit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's going to continue going if we keep saying let's stick with incrementalism. Let's not.
Here's my question, Frank. You keep saying incrementalism doesn't work. What are you offering as an alternative?
I just told you. Let's rally.
I'm talking about.
Let's rally around at least one thing that everybody agrees on, and we can work from there. All right. If you mean to tell me,
we all want more money.
Exactly. Jobs, better, higher wages.
I didn't say job. I said I want more money.
Well, higher wages. Absolutely, I totally agree with that. Those are the
things. I think you're missing the point. Greg is saying he doesn't want to work. He just wants people to give him
money.
Yes,
exactly. Yeah.
We can rally around things.
We're like 11 minutes out.
Yeah, we are.
Do you want to leave?
Is it still recording?
Yeah, we're still recording.
Oh, okay.
We never finished out the show.
We never got the Sweetos.
No, we'll get to it in just a second.
We're still on our Stinkos.
Yeah, I know.
And there goes my review.
Look, we can go longer if you want. I don't mind. Like, it's fine. But final point, we can rally.
I'm getting kind of hungry, is what I'm saying.
We can rally against or for Medicare for all. We can rally for a higher minimum wage. We can rally for things that actually help the people. You know, tax reform that's not stealth. You know. Very, very transparent tax reform. These are things that we, all of us, Republicans, Democrats, white, black, brown, we can all get behind these things. All of us can get behind these things. So I don't understand why we're happy with being incrementalist. I don't understand that. I'm not happy with it. I want health care. I want health.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, the thing is, you still have a lot of these people who think that, you know, health care is great as long as it's for me.
Yeah. Well,
so I don't.
You gotta
get people to
care about other people.
Yeah. It's like, I don't want to pay into a system that's going to help these other people I don't give a shit about.
But those same people.
Then if they don't understand how insurance works.
But those same people don't like high premiums, so. I mean, the answer is right in front of us, but none of us want to say, yes, let's have Medicare for all. None of us are doing it. None of us. None. I am. I'm saying I want health care. Yes, I want health care for everybody. And you're right. Nobody understands the way insurance works. Insurance works because most people don't get in accidents, and that's how they make money. You know?
Yeah.
They don't have to pay for an accident on every single vehicle, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've literally seen people arguing against, you know, arguing against the idea of like Medicaid for all because they don't want to pay into, like, they don't want to pay into something if they're not going to receive any direct benefit from it. I'm like, do you have car insurance?
Yep.
Do you have the direct benefit? Is that if like, they, if some reason they get into an accident?
Yep.
Like, literally everybody pays in so that the small percentage, so that it's a contingency plan. It's like,
yep.
So
yeah, yep.
there's this massive money that everybody's paid into so that if you wind up in a pinch, like you get into an accident, you don't get hurt, but your car's fucked up.
Yep.
You've paid into it so that the insurance company will pay for the outlandish cost of getting your car, fixed or replaced.
Yep. See, that's what
it's
I'm
the
saying.
The exact same thing with health insurance.
That's what I'm saying.
One problem is, too, that we also see what the government's done with Social Security.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
like Social Security is basically supposed to be like that, where we all pay into it, but the government dips in with Social Security to use it to pay for other stuff.
Yep.
And at some point, there isn't going to be Social Security.
Yep, absolutely.
That's going to happen really fucking soon.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's what I'm saying. Like, we fought for Social Security. Why can't we do it for that?
Our government, there are a lot of things that need to change. I think that's one of the things.
Yeah.
When our tax dollars are said to be for something, they should be going to that and only that.
Yep.
I'm sorry, that's beside the point.
You kind of like touched on something that I'll say really quickly here. I think that we get caught up in, but the problem is this. When we say Medicare for all, people always say, but the problem is this, right? You just said it to me at least three times, Mug. And that right there is the core of the issue. But the problem is, there's no excuses
anymore.
But there
are problems.
There's no problem.
You can say that there's no problem. You can
listen,
say there's no excuses.
Listen, you're drowning me out. There is no problem with people wanting health care. If you can find an argument for that, Mug, then I'll say incrementalism. Let's just stay in the same hole that we've always been. All right. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of the shitty health care that I get. I'm tired of all this shit. And that this is something everybody can rally around, right? Everybody's health.
You're aware you're talking to someone without health care of any kind.
No, I understand this. And that's what I'm saying. Like, you should be A number one saying, yes, Medicare for all. Fuck everything else right now. Let's get behind this. The thing is, the thing?
Frank, you're talking in circles.
No.
I know. It's like, and you're also being a little condescending right now.
Well, I'm just pointing it out, dude. Like, when are we going to get tired of incrementalism? When are we going to get tired of it?
The problem is the fact is everybody is tired of incrementalism, but I think we've got to convince people that greed isn't good.
Right.
Yeah. And that's going to be very hard to do.
Yeah, because when we live in a capitalist economy, therefore greed is good.
Yeah, no, I understand that we live in a capitalist economy, but there are other capitalist economies that work wonderfully, a lot better than this one.
One of the main issues that, or the stumbling block that keeps stuff like this from happening is that, that you want to do this, massive sweeping change for this one field.
It's not a massive change. It's not a massive change.
Let me finish. It doesn't exist in a vacuum.
All right.
You don't think a massive change, you're out of your mind.
Look, check this out.
I'm sorry, you just are. Okay. It is a massive change.
You guys have very little faith in this country, and I'll tell you why. All right? We are the only first world country.
Do you realize that Obamacare isn't actually fully implemented yet?
Hold on.
Because it's that complex?
Hold on.
This is not simple, Frank.
Hold on. We are the only country with our wealth that does not have universal health care. Do you understand that? We are the only one.
Well,
you mean to tell me? Hold on.
Hey, guys, calm down. Hold on.
Let me finish.
We've been going a while.
Let me finish this point. You mean to tell me that Venezuela or Mexico, of all places, Mexico and Venezuela, of all places, they have health care and we can't? Are you kidding me? You think the United States can't implement it because we're afraid of a sweeping change? I mean, come on.
That's
get
not
real.
The point I'm making at all.
Get
that's
real.
Not, like, and that's a massive get straw real. Man. That's not the point I'm making
no, no,
at
no.
all.
That, what I'm saying is you missed the point, Mug. This can be done, and it should be done. That's the point. It should be done, and it's not being done.
And I'm not arguing with you. But the thing is, if we're going to do this, there are other factors that have to be dealt with as well. We have to get rid of our intense focus on building up our military at the expense of literally every fucking thing else in the country.
That's a great point. That's a great, great point.
Healthcare for all will never fucking happen unless we can free up that ridiculously overbloated military budget back into some education.
I think I agree with you.
We need to happen.
Yep. I think the three big things that we can all agree on is everybody needs health care, everybody needs education, and everybody needs a better wage, right? If there was a politician that ran on that, Bernie Sanders, then I would be behind them 100% if we actually had somebody that voted that way. And
I think where we're not seeing, maybe we're just kind of talking past each other. It's like we're agreeing on about a fundamental thing. We both think healthcare for everyone, fantastic, you know. But it's a goal. It cannot be a step on the way to something else. Like there are other factors that we have to deal with. We have to deal with this fetishization of the military on defense being the world police. So saying we're not doing that anymore.
Yep. And if we prioritize education again.
I know teachers, and I've watched when any of us went to school. Did any of your teachers have to pay for their own school supplies for their students?
No.
I didn't.
No.
I sure as hell didn't.
Yep.
And that
yep.
should not be happening.
Yep.
We should not have music programs, art programs, just all kind of art programs cut, because these are the things that, you know, when we teach these kids all these things, there's like some of these things, some of it's, you know, it's good things to know, but we don't teach them practical knowledge. We don't teach them critical thinking. We don't teach them how to balance a fucking bank account.
Yep.
You know, and... You know, and we still always prop up this. America is the greatest country in the world.
Oh, I was just going to say that.
Because we're the strongest.
Yep.
Like, and what has that gotten us exactly?
I was just going to say that, Mug. That's a great point. Final point, and then we'll end the show. My Sweeto was the re-grand opening of Grinders. We're on YouTube. We're on Ustream. Are you done? Okay. Twitch, Ustream. YouTube, all that stuff. But the point I was making, the really quick final point, you hit the nail on the head, Mug. I totally agree with you. We got to get out of this mentality that we're the best country in the world, because it simply is not true. Yeah, it's not true. So, all right. What's your Sweeto real quick, guys? Just go around the table. Mug, your Sweeto.
New laptop, new phone.
All right. Breakman.
I binged watched The Defenders.
Oh shit! Awesome. Is it good?
I since yesterday I've watched a complete Defenders. Yes.
Is it good? Yes or no?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it's a culmination of the shows.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only
for Jones, Cage, and Iron Fist.
The only thing I think it really is missing, is probably just Kingpin, I think.
Yeah.
That's about it, yeah, for the most part. No, there's no Kingpin, sorry, spoiler. This is, the enemy is the Hand.
Yeah.
And Sigourney Weaver is a good villain, I think.
Yeah. All right, Eric, any Sweeto this week, or I didn't see anything on it?
Not really.
Okay. It's up to you, Eric. Do you want to do a review, or you want to wait till next week? I know we did about a half hour extra long show today.
Yeah, right. There's about 30 minutes of that entire conversation that probably could be cut out.
But no, I'm not. Yeah. I'm not going to cut it out.
I know you aren't, but that's how I feel.
Well, I know it wasn't important to you, Eric, but it's super important to me. And
I never said it wasn't important.
Well,
just that.
Then
we spent entirely too much time.
Yeah, let's not marginalize anybody.
Yourself.
Everybody has a voice on here, and let's not marginalize anybody's voice.
I don't want anybody to get like angry and start fighting.
There's no anger.
We did that once, and I just don't want that to happen again.
No.
That was my fault, so I'm gonna make sure it doesn't happen again.
No. Look, you guys are my friends.
And by the way, fuck you.
Yeah, and by the way, fuck you.
Fuck you.
All right, guys, that'll be the show.
Those last two fuck yous were for Freak Five Chaos.
Yeah, exactly. Fucking Freak Bike Big House. You're exiled. I gave him an extra one and he wasn't even fucking here, because I know he's thinking about how he can insult us further. all right. Let's go with Break. Your plugs.
You can follow me at Break_man and at RP Grinders on Twitter. And I got to go. Dog's barking.
Nice. All right, Eric.
All right.
Eric.
at EricRPG at Twitter, and websites like BostonBashBrigade.com, totally GN.com, VogNetwork.com, and AustGamers.com.
Awesome. Eric's going to have a review of Squid Girl next week. I think I already did my Annabelle creation.
Also, Ghost in the Shell. Be prepared.
Oh, my goodness. Ooh, yeah. I can't wait. I should watch it, too. I'll rent it and watch it, and I'll join in.
Is it so bad you're going to spoil it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I rented it this morning, and I'm probably not going to watch it till tomorrow.
Mug's got some wicked reviews to do next week too. I see Sundered and Westworld on there, which is awesome. So, all right,
and I can talk Defenders if you guys.
Yeah, Defenders for sure. I'll try to binge it.
If you're going to talk Defenders, I'm going to bow out of that portion because I'm like three shows behind.
I'll probably bow out of that too because I haven't watched it at all.
Yeah, I gotta watch it.
I won't do it then.
No. I'll watch it, and you and I can talk about it, and these guys can go na-na-na-na-na, you know, put their fingers in their ears, all that stuff.
But, la, 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 la.
Yeah, I'm exactly.
I can't hear you.
Yeah. All right, Mug, your plugs.
I don't really have any. I killed my Twitter.
Okay. He killed his Twitter. That's his plug. The new show, perhaps?
Well, you can call him at... Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
You find him next week on Twitter with a completely different name.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
All right. And I changed my phone number.
Yeah. All right. My plugs are as follows. New show on YouTube, Ustream, Twitch, others to follow. Join the chat. We're going to be doing it for the meantime Saturdays. Subject to change later on if Mug changes the schedule or whatever, you know, we might be back on Fridays or whatever. But for now, it's going to be Saturdays, 3 Eastern time. I agree with MXT. Going to be hard to get a live audience, but let's give it a go. Let's see if we can.
Yeah, maybe you can have a Japanese correspondent.
Yep. Do your best to tell your friends, join the chat. It's going to be fun. We're going to have as much shenanigans as we've had today and many, many, many more. All right, so that's all I got. Anything else, guys? Oh, you can follow me on Twitter at Frank Branches and at RP Grinders, of course.
I want to do a PSA.
All right, real quick.
If you've got digital means to watch it, Batman Harley Quinn's out.
Ooh, cool.
And knowing is half the battle.
That's awesome, man. All right. I'm surprised I didn't do one soundbite this podcast.
I've heard it was on digital, but I didn't bother asking them whether or not that means streaming services.
Yeah. All right, guys.
Or like buying something from Amazon.
Yeah. All right, guys. Stay safe this weekend. We want to see you back here next week. Until then, we are out.